This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey everyone, it's Dr. Jimmy. Welcome to episode 46. Today, I am recording this actually on December 31st, 2020. This is the last day of a year that I think very few of us are ever going to forget. It has certainly changed the way that our world operates. I think that it has clearly proven to us the things that we were taking for granted in the past. And, you know, it also, you know, it in all the ways that it has isolated and separated us, I believe that it has also really drawn us closer together in many ways. I mean, it's allowed us to spend more time with those that live within our households, so our family that we love and cherish. It's given us the gift of time. Okay. There, I mean, how many events and things were canceled that when you heard that it was canceled, there was just this tiny bit of you that felt this sigh of relief. Now, I know that there are huge events that were canceled that were a major disappointment to many of us. But think about those little things that just gave you that little gift of time back into your life. I mean, this year has allowed so many of us to focus on areas of our lives that maybe we hadn't really given enough attention to before. I think it's allowed a lot of us the opportunity to maybe start, you know, passion projects or blaze a new path for ourselves that, you know, I mean, this podcast, for example, would have never happened if it weren't for 2020. I would have never carved out the time to do this had that gift of time not been given to me and had my travel schedule not been lightened, you know, by the COVID pandemic. So I want to thank all of you guys for listening. I absolutely love getting the emails and the messages from you guys and hearing that these episodes are really making a difference in your lives and the lives of your horses. So as we say adios to 2020 this evening, I want to encourage each of you guys to just take a moment and count the blessings that came into your life because of 2020 and because of the COVID pandemic and all of the changes that, you know, our society had to make because of it. Okay, let's get into the show. So the topic for this show is oats. And it actually stemmed from a listener question by Rachel in North Dakota. And she was so kind as to submit her question through the voice messaging app, through her podcasting app. And so I'm going to get the chance to play that for you guys.
Hello, Doc. Oh my gosh. I love, love, love your podcasts. I listen to them every single time I'm outside, either tacking up my horses or even lunging them to condition them. Right now I'm in North Dakota where it's like 20 degrees and I've just got done listening to one of your podcasts. Love it. So I have a question for you. What do you think about oats? There is so many pros and cons. Some people love them, some people won't touch them. How complete are they vitamin and mineral supplement wise? I know a lot of thoroughbred people will give just oats. Do they create ulcers? Are they bad to feed for a horse that had ulcers before? Pros and cons of oats. Give me all the info. I love your podcast and I can't wait for this one.
Thank you so much for your question, Rachel. So let's start out by addressing, you know, why people feed oats to begin with. Okay. So I want you guys to think back 100, 200, 300 years ago. I mean, think way back in time, right? Even before that. What did we use horses for in that time? All right. They were used for work, right? So they are, you know, buggy drawn carriages, wagons, their horses are used to haul people around. They're used for transportation. They're used for plowing fields and manual labor and manual work. Okay. So these horses burned a lot of calories a day,
which means they needed a lot of energy, right? So calories and energy in the nutrition world are interchangeable. It's kind of the same thing. So, you know, these horses in that day needed a lot of calories. They needed a lot of energy. Well, let's look at the options that we had for feeding horses, that you know, humans had for feeding horses at that time. All right, you had cereal grains. Okay, so you the three kind of most easy to access, best options were corn, oats, and barley. Okay, so let's consider each of those three options. Let's talk first about, you know, the fiber content or the non-structural carbohydrate. Hydrate content. Okay. So corn is going to have an NSC of about 75%. Barley has an NSC of 60%, and oats has an NSC of around 55%. Okay. So that means that the one with the least amount of fiber is the one that has the highest NSC or non-structural carbohydrate content. Okay. So that'd be corn. So really low fiber, really high starch and sugar. That is not ideal for a horse. Okay. So corn's out. The next one is barley. It's a 60% NSC, okay? So again, a lot of starchy components, not a lot of fiber. Still not that great. Better than corn, but still not that great when you've got oats sitting there at only 55% NSC, okay? So when you look at those three and you compare them, it's easy to see why these people would have chosen oats, okay? Of the cereal grains, they are the ones that have the lowest non-structural carbohydrate content and the highest fiber content, okay? So that means that they would be, of those three options, they would be the, quote, safest, okay? Now, let's step into the modern. Oh, you know, actually, before I leave that topic or that point, let me just give you guys some perspective. When I talk to people about horses being on a low starch or low non-structural carbohydrate type feed, I'm generally looking for things that are, you know, 22% NSC or less. And then if we're talking about a horse that has a true metabolic condition or a medical sensitivity to starch and sugar, those are going to be 12% or less. Okay. So 1, 2. So 12% or less for your medical conditions, 22% or less for just a general low starch diet. And like I said, oats are 55% NSC. Okay. So that's that. That just gives you a little perspective. So, okay, let's step into the modern day. So horses go from working, you know, in those hundreds of years ago, they're working 12, 15 hours a day. Well, in the modern day, we put them through, what, 1 hour of work, maybe, at best, per day? And that's not even every day for a lot of horses, right? So, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I unfortunately don't have the luxury of being able to devote a full hour of riding to my horse every single day of the week. I wish I did, but I don't. And I think a lot of you are in that same boat, right? We have jobs, we have kids, we have, you know, a family that demands time from us. So, you know, our horses are not under the extreme energy demands that they were when they were workhorses hundreds of years ago, right? So they don't need as many calories. They don't need as much sugar and starch as they did back then. You know, now they're sport animals or they're companions, okay? So their dietary needs have changed pretty rapidly. Let's also not forget that their expected lifespan has also changed dramatically, okay? So I'm not entirely sure how long people expected horses to live in the 1800s or the early 1900s, but I know that now in this day in 2020 or 2021, you know, we're expecting horses to not only live, but to continue to perform well into their 20s, okay? So you don't get there by feeding the way that they fed in the 1800s. All right. So the next thing I want you guys to think about, so again, I'm just kind of setting a foundation here to give you guys a little bit of mental framework for when I start to actually talk about the nutritional aspects of oats. So let's think about the new resources and the technologies that are available to us right now. Okay. We have, you know, equipment that can basically separate a plant into all of its different parts so that we can use each part to the best to the most effective way. So whether that be that it goes into the animal nutrition industry, or whether that goes into, you know, other industries in of humankind, you know, take corn, for example. Corn is used for ethanol production, right? So there's lots of different ways that different crops and plants can be used. We now have the ability to take the certain parts of the plant that can be beneficial to a horse and actually incorporate that into a diet because of the technologies and because of the equipment that we have available to us in this modern day. Like, so take sugar beets, for example. So beet pulp is an incredibly beneficial ingredient in the equine diet. And we have access to that these days because the sugar beet industry has the technologies and the machinery to actually separate the pulp from the sugar beet itself and basically provide us with a byproduct. Okay, so that's what we call the things that are produced that are not the goal product. So in this situation, the goal is to make is to produce sugar beets to sell into human food, right? So anything that's not the sugar beet itself is considered a byproduct. Okay. So I don't want you guys to get there. There's oftentimes confusion when the word byproduct is used. Some people just immediately think that that means bad. And that's not always the case. Okay. So it is more about understanding what the byproduct is, not that it is a byproduct, if that makes sense. Okay. So beet pulp is a byproduct of the sugar beet industry. And beet pulp is highly digestible by the horse. Okay. It's very easily fermented and it's really low in total starch and sugar content. So you've got a low NSC content. So, you know, it's a fantastic ingredient that we have access to for horses now that, you know, our ancestors didn't have access to. Okay. And beet pulp's not the only plant that can do this, right? So, I mean, you've got wheat, soybeans, corn, I mean, all kinds of other agricultural products that have the potential to be handled in a very specific way that can provide us with a fraction of the plant that is, you know, very beneficial from a nutritionist standpoint. Okay. Then the last point that I want to make on this whole, you know, foundation setting is, you know, I want you guys to consider the amount of research that has been accumulated over the last 20 to 50 years. Okay. Equine research hasn't always been a thing. I don't think many people realize this. Okay. In fact, one of the main international research journals for horses, okay, it's called the Journal of Equine Veterinary Science. It's where published, peer-reviewed, you know, scientific research gets published. That wasn't even established until 1968. And when it started, they only had enough research being turned in that they could publish. They were only publishing 4 issues a year. Okay. That's how little equine research was happening at that time. All right. Now that particular journal publishes 2 new issues every month, and each issue has around 100 pages. Okay. So we've come a long, long way in the last 50 years as far as, you know, what we know about how to feed a horse, because the research dollars and the interest has really started to be put into horses. And it certainly has not always been like that. So, you know, I guess let's think about that for a second. I mean, how many of you or your parents or your grandparents would have been feeding horses and making those nutrition decisions in, say, you know, the 1950s or 1960s? I mean, I would say that about everyone listening is going to raise their hand to that one. Okay. I mean, so where did you learn to feed a horse? Right? We all learn from our parents, right? Or if not a parent, then obviously a role model or a trainer that would have been feeding horses in that time period or before. Okay. You know, and if they were feeding horses in that time, they also would have learned from someone that was feeding horses even earlier in time. Okay. So my point is, if we continue to feed horses the way that our parents and our grandparents and our great grandparents did, then, you know, we're sure to be limiting our horses from expressing their full genetic potential, okay, or their full performance potential or whatever. And that's not to say that, you know, our ancestors were feeding wrong or were feeding bad, okay. What they were doing was probably the very best way to feed at that time in history with the knowledge that they had, on what to feed a horse. Okay. But things change, right? We get better. The research, you know, the research has begun to accumulate. The research is showing us new information and giving us details and data about things that we didn't know 50 years ago. So, you know, in my opinion, it's the people that are willing to adapt and be progressive that are going to have that real competitive edge in the horse industry. Okay, now that I have set the stage for why we have historically fed oats to our horses, let's talk about some of the good that they can provide, okay? So they provide a lot of calories and a lot of energy, all right? So a pound of oats, just to give, I'm going to throw some numbers out at you guys, right? So a pound of oats contains about 1,500 calories for a horse. So to put that in perspective, an average grass hay is going to provide around 700, maybe 800 calories per pound. And an average alfalfa is going to be around 1,000 to 1,100 calories per pound. So on a pound for pound basis, oats is going to provide 2 times more energy than grass hay, and it's going to provide 1.5 times more energy than alfalfa. So this is really good if you have a horse that is burning calories like crazy and you physically cannot get them to consume enough hay to meet their calorie needs, okay? So I guess most of you may not know how many calories a horse even needs. So let's see, an 1,100-pound horse in moderate work needs to consume approximately 23,000 calories per day. Okay, I'm trying to use round numbers here. I think NRC says it's actually 23,300, but that's details that aren't really that important. So let's just use a round number of 23,000 calories. So let's say you're feeding that horse a half grass, half alfalfa diet. All right. So let's say they're getting, you know, 11 pounds per day of alfalfa and 11 pounds per day of grass hay. Okay. So 22 pounds per day total for an 1,100-pound horse. If your alfalfa is 1,100 calories and your grass hay is 800 calories, okay, if you do that math, that means your horse is getting just under 21,000 calories per day just from the hay that you're feeding. Okay, so if that horse needs 23,000 calories and you are providing 21,000 calories, that means you only have a deficit of 2,000 calories. It means you only have to provide 2,000 more calories to meet that horse's daily energy needs. Well, most people that are feeding oats are going to feed, I would say on average, 6 pounds, maybe 8 pounds per day. Okay. So at 1,500 calories per pound, that means that that's going to equal out to between 9,000 to 12,000 calories that you're adding into the diet just from oats. Okay. So in a diet that only needs an extra 2,000 calories to meet that horse's energy needs, we're going to be dumping 9,000 to 12,000 calories. So that's an excess of 7,000 to 10,000 calories on that horse's diet each day. Okay. That's extra energy. That's extra calories. Oh, and then we're going to turn around and we're going to blame the alfalfa for making our horses hot. Okay. That's a complete joke for those of you that didn't sense my sarcasm. All right. So now that we've covered some of the major benefits of oats, which is providing those calories and providing that energy, let's talk about some of the negatives. Okay. So oats, as I said earlier, are over 50% NSC or non-structural carbohydrates. Okay. That's starch plus sugar. So that's why they have so many calories. So that starch and sugar content is also going to provide a sugar rush and a lot of extra energy in a horse that is not able to burn it with if they don't have a solid workload, right? Like a really consistent, really heavy workload. So it's kind of like feeding, like, so I've got a 4-year-old daughter, right? So it'd be kind of like if I let her eat a bag of Skittles or maybe a triple decker birthday cake with extra icing and you know, gave that to her and then expected her to be nice and, you know, do good things or go to bed, right? That's not gonna happen. She's gonna get a sugar rush. She's gonna start acting all crazy and hyper. And it's not her fault. It's her body is trying to process that sugar. She's getting that sugar spike, right? So that same concept can happen with our horses, right? They don't always want to be bad. They don't want to be hot and crazy and excitable, but sometimes they get hit with a sugar rush and they can't help it, right? So I guess if you have, you know, maybe you have an absolute deadhead of a horse and you need that horse to have that sugar rush and to get that spike of energy, then, you know, oats could definitely be a positive in your situation. But you know, I would say the majority of us maybe are looking to keep our horses as mentally calm and stable as possible. So it's important for us to be mindful that adding oats into the diet can contribute to that excess energy if we are not mindful of how much we are feeding in comparison to the rest of the diet. Okay. Now, another area of concern when it comes to oats is their lack of vitamins and minerals. So oats are really high in phosphorus and low in calcium. That means that they have an inverted calcium to phosphorus ratio. Okay. So ideally, you always want more calcium in the diet than you do phosphorus. And so if you're feeding oats, you know that you're feeding something that's inverted, which means you're going to have to make sure that the other components of the diet have enough calcium in them and are not overrun with phosphorus to the point that it can correct what you're doing with the oats. Okay. So alfalfa is a really good companion with oats because alfalfa is so high in calcium that it can help offset that inverted calcium to phosphorus ratio that oats do have. Okay. Oats also, they seriously lack several other really important vitamins and minerals, especially in the trace mineral profile. Okay. So they should never be used to, quote, balance the diet. Right. So the scariest things that I hear are people who say they feed hay and they feed oats and they feed nothing else. Okay. That means their horse is getting plenty of calories. Right. So that means that horse is probably going to be holding good body condition on the outside. So if you were to walk up to that horse and body condition score them or look at their fat cover, you know, look at their body condition, there's a really good chance that that horse probably looks pretty darn good on the outside. But they are seriously lacking the vitamin and mineral component that is critical to those important metabolic functions of the body and the structural components of the body. Okay. So when I think about, you know, I see, unfortunately, a lot of horses that break down too earlier in their career, you know, whether it's breaking down through bones or through torn ligaments or, you know, whatever the thing is, there are things within their body that are failing them. And it is my opinion that a lot of that stems from having improper trace mineral and vitamin nutrition earlier in their life or at that point in their life. Clearly, the beginning of their life is the most important. So beginning from when they are in utero, so when they're a baby inside the mare, that's when this all starts. So if you're not feeding that mare the appropriate vitamins and minerals and balancing that diet correctly, that foal is, he's off to a bad start before he's even born, right? And then if you continue to not feed the appropriate trace minerals as he's growing or the macro minerals, again, that horse is just, it's not like he's going to stop growing. He's going to continue to grow. He's just going to continue to grow with deficiencies and weaknesses within his body that will pop up later in his life. Now, whether that pops up in radiographs, his yearling year, whether that pops up in, you know, him breaking down as a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, or whether that pops up as something, you know, in his late teens, right? You can't know when it's going to happen. But I believe that a lot of that can be prevented or at least staved off if you provide proper nutrition. So if anyone listening is feeding an oats and a hay only diet, the best thing that you can do is add in a diet balancer. So I personally really like 101 Diet Balancer or Nutrimix Plus, both of those by Stride Animal Health. Both of those will meet your nutritional needs top notch. It'll cover all of your bases. So if you want to keep feeding oats, and you've got a good quality hay, either of those supplements. Really, the only difference between the two of them, 101 is a pellet and Nutrimix Plus is a powder. And Nutrimix Plus actually has the mega dose of biotin built into it. So 101 Diet Balancer is going to get you to the research proven dose of biotin that you need on a daily basis. But the Nutrimix Plus is going to give you that 4x time. So if that gives you that 100 milligrams per day dose of biotin, if you really, really need that support for hoof integrity, hoof health. The other thing is that if you feed either of those supplements, it's going to make sure that your calcium and phosphorus ratios are in balance, and it's going to make sure that you're meeting your horse's basic, you know, nutritional needs for things like copper, zinc, selenium, and then of course, all of those important vitamins. Now, another thing I want to point out when using oats, some people will look at a horse's poop and they'll see oats in it and they'll just assume that the horse is passing those oats right through and not getting any nutrition out of them. Okay, that's not true. All right, so I'm going to set the record straight here for everybody. The reality is what you are seeing in the manure is just the oat hull or that outer casing or outer shell of the grain kernel. Okay, so the starchy component that's inside of the oat, that is all going to have been extracted and used by the horse. And then what they're passing out is just the whole portion that they were not able to actually get digested and utilized in a timely manner before their body said it's time to exit. Let's see. One other thing that I think is important around, you know, the concept of using oats. Okay, so if you are mixing oats with a commercially fortified feed, meaning one that has been specifically designed by a PhD equine nutritionist to meet your horse's exact nutritional needs, all you are doing is diluting all of their hard work. So for example, let's say you are feeding Intensify Omega Force, and the directions say that you should offer 4 pounds per day, but instead you decide to feed 2 pounds and then make up the rest of the meal by giving 2 pounds of oats. Okay, you have just cut the nutritional value of Omega Force in half. So let's do another example. Let's say you do feed the 4 pounds of Omega Force, just like the tag recommends, but then you add an extra 2 pounds of oats on top of that. Okay, so you have you're meeting the needs of the horse from a vitamin and mineral standpoint, but you have just increased that horse's calorie and energy intake by 1.5 times. Okay, so that means you're either going to get a fat horse, or you're going to get an excitable, crazy horse, or maybe you get both. You might be one of the lucky ones, right? So I guess my point is, if you're feeding a product that I or any other knowledgeable equine nutritionist has poured hours of time and effort into balancing, it hurts our feelings when you unbalance all of our hard work by cutting it with oats or anything else for that matter. But okay, our feelings aside, it can also be a huge negative for your horse because, you know, you can really potentially unbalance that diet that you think that you are feeding. And that basically means you're going to get the results. You're not going to get the results that you thought you were going to get. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that oats are the devil. I'm just saying that they should be used very intentionally for very specific situations. Okay, I believe that they have a place in the equine nutrition world. Let's take the racetrack, for example. Okay, because of those horses' needs, their energy needs, right? Those horses are working hard, hard, hard. And most of those horses are generally being fed grass hay. And as we know, grass hay has, you know, fewer calories than alfalfa, for example. And so they've got to find ways to compound the calories and increase the energy, right? So, I mean, oats are a pretty much a mainstay on the racetrack. And those horses are expending enough calories and need enough energy that works. Now, that said, I want to remind you that 95 to 99% of racehorses, this is according to the research, 95 to 99% of racehorses have gastric ulcers. Okay. So high starch diets are a contributing factor to ulcers. So if you have a horse that is ulcer prone or dealing with ulcers, oats are the last thing that you would want to feed. Okay. I don't know how many times I have worked with people who said, quote, someone told them that oats are the most natural, holistic thing to feed to a horse. And if they want to prevent or treat ulcers, that's what they should put them on. Okay, this is your warning. If you fell asleep or if you lost track of this conversation, I want you to come back to me and I want you to listen very closely. Never feed oats to a horse with ulcers, right? Oats are not going to prevent or cure ulcers. So I mean, let's look at the research. So research shows that feeding 1 gram of starch per kilogram of body weight per meal increases your horse's chance of developing ulcers by 2.5 times. All right, so what does 1 gram of starch per kilogram of body weight look like? I'm sure you guys are like, what? So for let's take an 1,100 pound horse, that means that if you feed more than 500 grams of starch per meal, you're going to more than double their chance of developing ulcers. So if you fed 3 pounds of oats in a meal, and the oats, so oats are about 45% starch, okay, so just straight starch, that, or let's say the particular oats we're looking at are 45% starch, right? So that calculates out to over 600 grams of starch, which is obviously over the 500 grams that researchers have found can be detrimental. So, all right, if I lost you through all of that, the take-home message here is, if you feed 2.5 pounds or more of oats to a horse at one meal, you have more than doubled his risk for developing ulcers. Okay, I'm just going to leave you guys with that. So I hope this episode has been enlightening, and I hope that it helps clarify the role that oats play in the world of equine nutrition. I wish you all a very blessed and very prosperous 2021. And if you guys have questions that you would like me to address on this podcast, please drop me a voice message through your podcasting app, or you can send me an email at info@acbluebonnet.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.